all who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write my God's name on them, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and they will have my new name inscribed upon them. You know, I used to think about, so if I get to live in this city and I never get to leave it, how big is it? Somebody tell me what the dimensions are on the new Jerusalem. How many miles? About 1,500 by 1,500. That's pretty close, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so if that thing's 1,500 miles straight up, and 1,500 miles this way, and 1,500 miles this way, what kind of fun could you have? Now, I could fly a jet airplane around in there, couldn't I? Wow. And just think, I wouldn't even need the jet. I could fly without an airplane. Isn't that something? But is that a pretty big town? A pretty big city? 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles? Yeah, that's pretty good size. The new Jerusalem. And it comes down from heaven, from God. And they will have my new name inscribed upon them. And just think, on each side, there is going to be I don't have any idea how big those pearls are going to be. But there's going to be 3 one-piece pearls on each side of that new Jerusalem. And those gates will never be closed. We can really literally go in and out anytime we want to. We'll have the freedom to go in and out anytime we want to. What a place. Verse 13 and 14. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Laodicea. This is a message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the rulers of God's creation. Verse 15 and 16. I know all the things you do. And it doesn't matter which church it is. He knows what we do, doesn't he? You think he knows what you do every day, Christy? You think he even knows the intent of your heart, even if you don't speak anything? He sure does, doesn't he? That's what he says. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you're like lukewarm water, I will spit you out of my mouth. Well, first of all, I sure don't want to be ice cold in the kingdom of God. And I sure don't want to meet the criteria for being lukewarm. So that only leaves one place, right, brother? And where do we want to be? On fire. We want that water hot running out of that faucet, right? I got tickled at Cheryl the other night down in our travel trailer. We went down the other night, spent the night in our travel trailer. And of course, I think it's only got about a 5 or 7 gallon hot water heater. You know, they're not very big in a travel trailer. She loves to take a bath in hot water. Of course, you know, here at home, I got her a 40 gallon hot water heater. So she never runs out of hot water here, hardly ever. But down there, the little tub is about a third of the size or a fourth the size of the one she has here. So she fills it up, you know, and she takes a hot bath and she's rinsing her hair and all kinds of stuff. And I hear the hot water running in there. And I thought, well, I wonder how long it's going to work. All of a sudden she said, "Oh, that water's cold." I said, "We'll turn it off. It's going to take about 10 minutes for it to get on again. So you rinse your hair." I thought to myself, the Lord, not me, but the Lord's going to teach this girl how to take a shower in less than 40 gallons of water. Or take a bath in less than 40 gallons of water. She loves to use up the hot water. Don't you, honey? She does. She loves it. Some of you girls may be just like her. I don't know. But I will have to say, she found out that when she's in our travel trailer, she can get it done a lot quicker. Because that cold water is not too good. So I don't want to be cold, just like Jesus don't want us to be cold. And I sure don't want to be lukewarm. Do you, Bill? No, no way. I want to be on fire for Jesus. Verse 17 and 18. You say, "I am rich. I have everything I want." Do we say that a lot in America? Oh, yeah, we're so blessed. We really do. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wow. But, I mean, after all, you know, I'm a man and I'm healthy and I got $10 million in the bank. Well, I mean, you know, if I'm going to use an example, I might as well use a good one, right? I mean, if I am a man and I'm healthy and I have everything and I got two new Cadillacs sitting outside and two new diesel trucks sitting outside and I got everything in the world I need and I'm living in a $2 million house and I got $10 million in the bank, what kind of shape am I according to the world? Huh? Oh, I'm pretty good shape, huh? Do I need anything? No, not according to the world. The young men that are out there today said, look, if I was really a man that had all that stuff I just named, they'd look at me and say, I want to be like him. That's what so many young men want today. They want to have the power and the money that you got, if you got it. And I remember this lawyer in Dallas. He had all that. Everything. Had a big law firm. Had everything you could imagine that his heart desired. And one day out here where 635 is, when it was fields years ago, he drove out there in one of those fields, reached in the glove box and took a 38 out and put it to the side of his head and he said, I'm tired of living. And he pulled a hammer back and all of a sudden the radio come on and says, you know, if you're miserable, you need to try Jesus. Oh, it just happened to be on that station. What a coincidence. And so he sat there with a hammer back and listened to the radio show. He finally says, I thought, okay, maybe that is what I'm missing. I have everything else. So he put the gun down, went and found him a church, started going to church, got saved, totally changed his life. And the guy is still a great lawyer today. But at least he's not lost, and he don't want to take his life. He's not miserable. You can think like these guys here. You got everything. I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Is there people like that in the United States of America? All over the place. Absolutely. Yeah. 18. I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich, and also buy white garments, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and buy ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. Verse 19. I am the one who corrects and disciplines everyone I love. So if you get a spanking, who's it from? From God. Yeah. If you get blessed, who's it from? God, yeah. I am the one, Jesus Christ, who corrects and disciplines everyone I love. Be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, here I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling and you open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal as friends. That scripture right there is on the wall, right in there in our kitchen. Kim wrote that up there, verse 21 and 22. I will invite everyone who is victorious. There it is again. Every one of these churches. I will invite everyone who is victorious to sit with me on my throne. Now, can you imagine being victorious in Jesus Christ and you die one day and he says, come in here, son or daughter. I have a place right here by my throne that you get to sit. This was reserved for you. Would you like to sit close to the king? Yeah, but how would you like to be one of those that he says, I'm sorry, you were not victorious, so you have to be in the outer courtroom, way out yonder in the South 40. That would be better than being in hell, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, to be anywhere in heaven would be better than being in hell. But I don't want to be out there either. I'd rather be victorious than be sitting somewhere where I could at least see the king, wouldn't you, Bill? I might be a long ways from him. I will invite everyone who is victorious to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Just think, where is Jesus right now? Sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he is going to make that place available for you and me if we'll serve him and do what he says. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now then, many times he's told us here that we need to listen to the Spirit and obey what the Spirit's saying. Well, who is he talking about? Who have we been listening to speak? The Holy Spirit. Is these His words we've been reading? So that's the Spirit of God. Yes, it's coming out of my mouth, but it's the Spirit of God. You've been following along with me in your translation, and if you're listening and hearing and you obey Him, does He have any favorites in the kingdom? Not a one. It doesn't matter who you are, man or woman. Makes no difference what nationality, color, creed, or nothing else we are. If we obey God, He will let us sit with Him in His throne. Now, can you think of a better place than to be sitting pretty close to the King, young lady? You'd take that, wouldn't you? Amen. Me too. Wow. What do we have to do to make all this come to pass? Obey. Isn't that something? Has anything changed from here to the old covenant when He kept told us way back yonder, if you obey me, I'll take all sickness away from you? Here He promises us, if you obey, you'll be victorious and you get to sit with me in my throne. Wow. Well, Father, I praise You and thank You for Your word. I thank You that You've given us this book to read and study, and You've told us exactly who You are and how You do things. You told us what You'll reward us with if we will obey You. You tell us the consequences if we do not obey You. You tell us everything in this book. Help us to hear the Spirit and obey what He says, because You are God and You are in control, and You're the Father is our Father. Jesus is our brother, and the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And Lord, if we will obey You, You say You withhold no good things from Your children that obey You. That means that if we will obey You and stay in a mode of repentance and stay in a love walk, we will be able to do anything, and You will back us up. We'll be able to pray. And Father, I'm going to stop right now, and I'm going to ask You, Father, that You hear our prayer today, that You will do whatever is necessary to let the Mississippi River run down where it does not break any more levees or flood any more homes. But You will let this happen some way so that the people will know that You've done it. Lord, I ask You to move on the hearts of pastors up there in the, all up and down the Mississippi, that they will begin to pray and seek You.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, All Who Are Victorious, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.